Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Morning's message is entitled and really fits in with what the Lord has been speaking to us this morning. This is a very powerful testimony of a heavy metal band leader. His name is Brian Welch. Who of you have heard of him? Okay. Hopefully you're not... Were you BC fans of him? No more fans, okay? Maybe you're fans of what he's become, okay? But he was the heavy metal band leader of Korn. Who heard of the heavy metal band Korn? Nobody. Oh, you may raise up your hands, it's fine. Okay, some more bold people, yeah, okay. Now, they border on, I think, satanic worship in many aspects. But not so much, but more really feeding the flesh and singing perverted, skewed, promiscuous songs and songs that encourage youngsters to use drugs and to partake in the things which we know is wrong and parties, but really promiscuous parties and orgies. So they promote that in their songs. And this guy, his wife left him. She was a drug addict, and he's a drug addict. And they were just becoming more and more popular, this band Korn. And he had a little daughter. And one day he heard his daughter sing one of his songs. And his wife, in the meantime, had left him, had deserted him and his child. She'd gone on a drug spree and they lost contact with her. She made sure they couldn't get hold of her, and she deserted her daughter and her husband. And he heard his daughter sing one of his songs, and it shocked him to his very core. And as a parent, he knew that he knew he cannot carry on the way he's been carrying on. He cannot allow his daughter to sing these songs, which feed promiscuity, which feed wrong things, which feed the flesh. I don't even want to give you the lyric of the song. It's so disgusting. But in any case, so he came to this crisis in his life. And one day, one of his partners, he was buying and selling properties, this heavy metal leader, heavy metal band leader. One of his real estate partners said to him, I don't know why, but I want to give you this verse. And it said, Matthew 11 verse 28, and it says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And he's not a Christian, he doesn't believe in God, doesn't care for God, but he was really heavy burdened with the fact that his daughter is following in him, in his and his wife's evil footsteps. And a week or two later, this friend said, don't you want to come with me to church? And he said, yeah, I'll come. I'm desperate. And there he gives his life to Christ and becomes radically saved. And he goes to his daughter and he says, Daddy and Mommy were wrong. This is what we did that is wrong, my child. I'm so sorry. These songs are wrong, and this is why it's wrong, and Jesus loves us. Jesus wants us to get to know him, to come sit on his lap. Christ wants intimacy, wants to be a better and a greater daddy for you than what I am for you, my daughter. And she was so happy, and she came to Christ, and today he is a proclamation of Christ's goodness. This ex-heavy metal band leader, he's covered from head to toe with tattoos. You know, from his ear right down with tattoos. But you don't look at that. You just see the light of Christ in his eyes. And he got radically, radically saved and left the band. And they said, how can you leave your band? How can you leave all the money that you were busy making? He said, that compares nothing to my daughter following the right road, getting to know Jesus. Because I know what this life gave me. It gave me emptiness. It gave me death. And I no longer want to eat of the death that my old life had. Somebody shared with me a very powerful thing and said, you know, would you ever put a sticker on a Ferrari? Who of you would put a sticker on a Ferrari? We all God's Ferraris. Why put a tattoo on God's temple, on God's Ferrari? And just that, by the way, if somebody's considering a tattoo, you're beautiful as you are, made in the image of God. You're God's Ferrari. Right, folks, let's, what gets to me is that, not gets to me, but really challenges me is his daughter he had to save from the destructive future that she was busy going on because of his testimony. And many of our lives, there are things that have spoiled us along the way. He stopped from spoiling his daughter. But there are things that happened in your life and happened in my life that have spoiled us along the way. And it's in many cases catapulted us into adulthood where we should have been more childlike and like children in those areas of our lives. We've been thrust into adulthood because of circumstances and situations. As we become older, we become more sophisticated, aware of things and position, status, material things, and opinion of others. That starts to affect us. It starts to become important to us as we get older. And let's go read this verse, two verses, Matthew 18, verses 6 to 7. The message is entitled Heart. But Matthew 18, verses 6 to 7 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses comes. And in this scripture, it speaks about the offense of letting any believer, any child of God, or a little, physically little one, to teach them the way of sin. But it's clear if we read further in this chapter, God draws a clear parallel between being a child and our spiritual walk. Because he says to us, the kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. So there's a clear line, there's a clear parallel drawn between the behavior of a child, the thoughts, the heart, the understanding of a child, to where God wants us to be in our relationship with him, in our relationship with others, and in our heart situation, in our character, within our deepest being. So there's a clear line drawn between these two. And this morning we want to focus on the first four verses of Matthew 18. And this is what it says. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And here clearly God is saying, be like children. The question is, what are the strong characteristics of a child that God wants us specifically to adopt or to return to or to embrace or to ask God to redeposit, reawaken, realive within us? What are those characteristics of a child that God wants us to grow in or to return to? And there are three things that I've identified, and I'm sure there could be more, but there are three main headings of this, and that is a child in essence. God wants us to be a child in our very essence, the very core of our being, The places where we've lost our childhood, we've lost our being like a child so the kingdom can belong to us. We've lost it. God is saying, return to the essence of what it means to be a child. The second is child in action. What does it mean in your daily walk, in your life, in your interaction with folks? What does it mean to be like a child in action? And the third is a child towards God. So it's a child in our very essence, it's a child in action, and it's a child towards God. Let's go discuss a child in essence. What is, if you have to think of one word that typifies a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, one word that gives you the essence of their child, what would it be? Anyone can shout out right now. Innocence. Someone else. Love. Carefreeness. Yes. Dependent. Beautiful. You're mentioning all the sermon points. Fantastic. Trust. Yes. Yeah, these are the characteristics of a child. Innocence, purity, blatant honesty. But you know, a thing about the innocence of a child, it confronts you. Have you ever had a child say an inappropriate, in your opinion, an inappropriate thing? Did that confront you? Yes, it does. So where have we wandered off from that place where God says we must be like? That attitude, that essence that God is saying, return to that essence of where God wants you to be. And some of us are irritated by what that child says out of place. Maybe it's meant to be in place. But we are either irritated or we embrace the child and what the child says. And we enjoy the honesty, the innocence of their child. But that confronts us. And God is saying to us, He has given us an inherent innocence that we need to not lose. And if we've lost some of it, we must go and return to it and say, God, restore unto me my innocence. Let me show forth like a child my purity, my innocence from the depth of my heart. Let it be my essence. Charles Finney, I don't know how many of you have heard of the great evangelist. Charles Finney lived about 200 plus years ago. He would get onto buses and trains, and he would just sit there quietly. Sometimes he'd preach, but often he'd just sit there. People not knowing him would come to him and fall on their knees and say, we feel so overwhelmed by our wickedness. Would you please lead us to Christ? Without him even saying a word. His purity and his innocence, the anointing of the God, was oozing out of him. That the people sitting in the buses and trains would come to him and say, what is it that you have? I'm just so convicted of my wrongdoing, of my adultery last night, my cheating yesterday, my jealousy right now. I'm convicted of it. And God is saying to us, my children, when you are like a child, your innocence is so evident. Your purity is so evident. People are drawn to my glory because of the beauty that you are releasing from within your being. Second one is child in action. God is saying to us, not only must you be a child in essence, but I want you to be in your daily walk and talk, think and breathe in action, a child in action. Now we've said a child is pure. So when a child is pure, that which comes out of their mouths is pure. The words are innocent. When a child speaks, is there cruelty in those words? Is there cruelty in a child's words? It's pure, it's honest, it's innocent. There's no cruelty, there's no ugliness, there's no nastiness, there's no ill intent. There's just a beauty. But often adults can become hurtful. Often adults can say things to malign and to hurt. But a child, when they say something, you might think, oh, you're hurting me, you're offending me. But their heart does not intend to offend you. Their heart's not meaning. There's not cruelty. There's not a motive behind what they're saying. They're saying it purely out of an innocent heart. And we come back to the thing where not only is the essence of a child sometimes produces inappropriate behavior, but the words of a child confront. But it's not there to ridicule. We watched this one interesting story, and these two families were together having a Christmas holiday, and the one family was in a storm, and they came to the door and they knocked because they had to get out of this extreme snowstorm. And the other family, it was their home. They'd arrived a few hours prior. And this one family came and said, please, can we come in your house? The storm is so excruciating. We can't see where we're driving. We don't know where we're going. Can we just... And they said, yes, please come in. And they allowed the second family to come in. But the family whose home it was, they were extremely rude with one another. The father was rude with the mother was rude with the father. The children were off-putting. The elder brother was mocking and teasing his two sisters, and he was downing them, and there was just so much no peace in this house. And the second family that came and joined them in the house during the snowstorm, they loved one another. They spoke respectfully, kindly, lovingly to one another. They considered each other above themselves. They served one another. And then on Christmas Eve, this family, this new family that had moved in, they said, may we do a Christmas tradition that we always do when we're with our other family? And they said, yes, you know, the family that were not treating each other well. They said, yes, please, let's do it. And they had a candle, and whenever you got the candle, you had to say something you appreciate about life. And they each got their turn, and the little girl of the family that were mistreating each other, she said, I'm so thankful that we can see a family that loves and cares for one another to help us to love and care for one another. Now, some will be offended. Some will say, oh. But you know what? It's honesty and truth. It's truth with honesty. And the Lord is calling us to become like children. To say things in honesty, but with love and no maliciousness, no rudeness, no ugliness. And that's what this child did. He just said, thank you for being here, for showing us how to love one another. Not we are wrong and we are bad and no intent to hurt. Just honest observation. Innocent, loving observation. Our hearts have to surrender to God that we can speak the truth with no ill intent. We need to ask the Lord to make us like children again. Let's look at the next thing. Words, child in action. And we need to become like a child when it's on the playground. And what I mean by playground, it's the place where you look at children on the playground and the one accidentally bumps the other one, or the one grabs a toy and the other one slaps the person that grabs, the little one that grabs a toy, and they eventually get into a wrestling match and then they cry. But a minute later, they're playing again. As if nothing has happened. Have you noticed that? And what does it say? What principle are we learning by that playground activity? They give forgiveness without waiting for repentance. God is telling us we must become like who? Like children. And on a playground, kids give 7 times 70, they forgive. 7 times 70, they release. God says, forgive 7 times 70 every day. Just live a life of giving forgiveness free of charge away. That's what children do. It's as if nothing happened. They just had a massive fight, but it's over. It's forgotten. It's forgiven. They carry on. A child's love is contagious. It's so easy for them just to turn the other cheek. And if you are struggling to turn the other cheek, and if I'm struggling just to give forgiveness all the time, easily, quickly, then we've wandered off that aspect of our person that needs to return to be a child. Amen? Do we have an Ana as well? Ana and amen. Yes, we're all guilty. That's why God lovingly says, come, my children, return to be a child. Return to childhood. So, the next aspect of children in action. First one is words. Second one is giving forgiveness. The third one is emotions. How does a child behave emotionally? Do they withhold their hurt? Do they hide it away? They just release their hurt. They cry quickly. Guys, when last have you needed to cry and you didn't cry? Andrew, the last 2 weeks you needed to cry a few times, did you? Okay, praise God. Andrew and I cry easily. How many of you guys needed to cry the last 2 weeks and you didn't cry? Raise your hand, be bold and honest right here, right now. One person, two, three. Yes, thank you guys. Ladies as well included. You may also raise your hands. I just presume ladies cry easily. But I'm making a wrong presumption here this morning. So a child bears their emotions on their sleeves. You never doubt where you're at with that child. They don't allow themselves to have masks. They fight quickly and they make peace quickly. So to handle conflict, if we must be like children to inherit the kingdom of God, how are we supposed to handle conflict? Speak to me. Like children. Are we supposed to hide it? Allow it to brew? And grow into a bitter root of resentment and anger? Or are we supposed to speak it out in love? Right there, right then, right now. Who handles conflict here like an Eskimo? Be honest. Yes, one, two. Repent right now. Go on your knees. Say sorry. It's wrong. Do not handle conflict like an Eskimo. Handle it like a child. Conflict is inevitable. But handle it like a child. Not with a stab. Not with extreme emotional vendetta. But pouring out your heart, sharing your anger with no stab, with no resentment, giving forgiveness. Don't even want to lure somebody to repentance. That's not how a child does it. They just give forgiveness. Don't demand a sorry. I've demanded a sorry. How many of you have also demanded a sorry? We've stepped out of being a child. We've stepped off course. Let's realign to the kingdom of God, to what God says. The kingdom belongs to those that are like children. And you know what? We were all like that. We've walked those roads. They are familiar to us, the roads of a child. Just step back in that road. Just rethink and redo. Recalibrate your emotions, your heart, your thoughts, everything about you. Recalibrate it. We cannot carry on living a life masking our inner. If you are not in contact with your inner emotions and you keep hiding it away, keep suppressing it, it will end up in your destruction. You'll self-destruct. You'll start losing your mind. You won't have a sound mind because you're allowing the fear of what others will say or not say and do or not do to control you. And what's the opposite of fear? Love, power, and a sound mind. So when you're holding everything in, you're keeping everything in, you're not being like a child in your emotions, bearing your emotions, being honest with yourself about yourself, it will cause sickness and illness and disease. And that should be a warning sign to many of us. If you find it easy to mask your emotions, to hide it, to keep it back. That's a warning sign. And go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've kept this back. I struggle that which is in me to release it. Because I fear the opinion of man. I fear the opinion of so-and-so, so-and-so. I fear what they will think of me. I fear what will come out. But Lord, help me to release what needs to come out, but to do it without a stab, without vendetta, without anger, just to bear my heart as children do, without even holding back. The Lord encourages us to be like children, to be more honest, forthright about our emotions without stabbing, without losing control. Now, sometimes often when kids go on, we think they're losing control. But you know, in God's opinion, that's not yet control loss. Often we think, ooh, it's getting too rough now. And I think us with a Western culture are very much there. We may not be, no, we quickly get irritated with too much noise. We quickly get irritated with people talking in the streets and shouting and too much loudness. I think people that make noise are maybe closer to a child than those that are quiet and reserved. Who agree with me? So do you think our culture is a bit wrong? Do you think we have to adapt the way we see things? Very reserved, you know, old chap. You may not, yes. Oh, Sherry, what? No. That's not being a child. Who wants the kingdom of God in you? Right here, right now, all the time, 100%. Raise up your hands, only half of you. Then say, Lord, help me to become a child again. And the way I look at people, the way I see people, the way I interact, the way I look at you, in my very essence, return me to be a child. So one friend of mine shared with me about his teenager that started becoming extremely critical about everything. And where he had to say to the teenager, his son, remember when you were a child, you never worried about dirty toenails. It never bothered you. You played with the friends that had dirty toenails and dirty fingernails. Now, I'm mentioning that because I have a big problem with that in my very essence. My wife can agree. But I know I need to die to that. How can I reject somebody or push them away because they have dirty toenails? And so this wasn't the situation. I'm just making it up as I'm going along. But he did speak to his son about his son's critical heart. And he said, my son, remember when you were that age and that age, you had no criticism in your heart. You weren't critical. You weren't pointing. You weren't accusing. You weren't cynical. You were embracing and loving and enjoying life. And he had to talk to his son. His son had to say, okay, daddy, I realize. Next point is, children give out genuine love and they receive genuine love. Have you seen that? If you sit down with a child and you talk to them intently and you're engaging in their world. You come up from there and you start playing little cars on the ground. You're on your knees. You do little funny actions and stuff. You pull your ear. You make funny faces. They receive your attention. They slurp it up. They enjoy it. They drink it. So a child receives genuine love easily and they give it back. Man, kort voor lank. How does everyone say that in English? Quickly, shortly, they're on your lap. They embrace you because they feel your genuine love. And God's saying to us as his children, my children, receive my genuine love, but receive genuine love from others. And as you receive it, and even before you receive it, give out genuine love. Become honest and innocent with your pure-hearted love. Go revisit your childhood days of receiving genuine and giving genuine love outwards towards others. The third aspect of being a child is being a child towards God. And that's our third point. What does it mean? And we don't have enough time this morning to discuss all the aspects of being a child towards God, but I want to highlight a few of them that I believe are important. A child expects all, trusts all, and believes all when it comes to his or her relationship with God. They expect all, they trust all, and they believe all. And that's what our brother prayed this morning on his knees, where the Lord showed him, and I agreed with him. One of the biggest things we fail in is we have a problem with unbelief. And that shows there's a lack of you being childlike enough. God is saying to us as his children, come again and ask me to help you to expect all, believe all, and trust all things from me. This is so crucial in our growing our relationship with Christ, is to expect all, trust all, and believe all from him. When I was a missionary, I started on this quest. I said, Lord, I know you love me intellectually, but down here, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced emotionally and spiritually that you really love me. Would you show me your love? And I've never stopped with this quest. It started in 1992, 93, I can't remember. And I've been pursuing to discover the width, the breadth, the depth of God's love for me. And that first week where I asked the Lord this, I felt led to invite a couple that had a newborn baby. I'd met them in the church, and I said, this was in Pretoria. I said, don't you want to come have lunch with us, Sunday lunch? Because Sunday at the mission base, we had a buffet, and we could invite anybody, pay a minimal fee, and they could have lunch with us. So I invited this couple with this newborn baby. And I'm sharing these very, very powerful testimonies of people being raised from the dead in the Middle East, of people having visions of Christ, of people breathing, being battered because of their confession and testimony of Christ, and being thrown in water with rocks around them, and how this yellow light appears in front of their faces, and they're breathing underneath the water, and how they return to the village that persecuted them for sharing Jesus. They can't even see through their eyes, and they arrive at the village, and the village says, this is a miracle, we accept Christ because you should have been dead. We can't believe you had the guts to come back. So you're all spellbound by what I'm saying now. Were you all spellbound by this powerful testimony? I'm sharing it with this couple. The next minute, the baby says, wah! I lose all their attention. It's as if I do not exist. They're kookalurooting all around the child. I don't know what the word is. But I mean, they pick up the baby. The daddy doesn't have to do it. He can listen to me. But he's not listening to me anymore. I'm sharing this powerful testimony. I've lost his attention. And he's focusing on the baby, and the mommy's focusing on, and they're saying, why is the baby crying? And the baby wasn't crying that loud either. I mean, come on, give a guy a break. And I lost their attention. I'm sharing these powerful testimonies. And right there, the Holy Spirit says to me, you have my attention. Like that child has the attention of its parents. You have my love, my adoration, my care, my concern, my provision, a million times more. Why doubt? Why fear, son? I love you. Discover my love. As those parents. Those parents are an example of godly love. A parent and child relationship is an example of godly love if it's healthy, if it follows the pattern of God himself, which the majority of parent-children, especially mother-children relationships, do follow in this world. There are exceptions, but the majority I know of, man, that child has your attention, has your focus, has your love, grips your very heart. And the Lord said to me, I love you more than that, my child. There's your first lesson in discovering my love. Next story will lead up to the next point, which is very important. Very important. Brings balance. We're meeting this week with a lady that we know from a previous congregation. And she started divorce recovery. And we were talking to her, and she shared about how she's praying for her children, and how her children have been exposed to ministry. They've been exposed to the name of Jesus Christ. They've been exposed to signs and wonders and miracles. But both these little children have grown up. Unfortunately, she had gotten divorced in the meantime. So they come from a broken family setup. And her, one of her children, I don't know which one anymore, one of her children mentioned that he or she asked the Lord for something. And it didn't happen. And then they decided they're not going to believe in God anymore. And today, both those children, and they're not going to remain there. Because the mom's praying, there's constant testimony, there's constant example of the love of Christ. But those children will return to Christ, even though they're atheists. But it brings us to the next important point, and that is, God may say no. Guys, many of us, I'm not saying here necessarily, but a lot in the body of Christ are offended with God because he never, in my opinion, heard my prayer and answered my prayer. He may say no. We need to accept that. And if he says no, you need to know and believe it's for your good. It's for the good of the kingdom not being hurt furthermore in your life. It's for the good of keeping you closer to being a child than becoming an adult. Receiving God out of a childlike attitude, a childlike heart. It's for your own good. God may say no. It's his right. It's his privilege. It's his pleasure. We have been created for his pleasure. He's not existing. And he hasn't got a beginning and he hasn't got an end. But God does not exist for our pleasure. We cannot allow offense. And that's where a child accepts a no. I know they struggle. But I mean, a little one, majority of them as I know, you say no, okay, they stop. They accept it. They don't feel rejected. They don't bear you a grudge or resentment for days on end. They don't turn their back on you, do they? They shut up and they listen. They keep quiet. They accept what you say. They accept a no. And to be part of a child and being part of the kingdom of God is to accept no as being no. Another aspect of our action is that as children, every child needs closeness to its parents. As one young man shared with me that he remembered as a little boy, he's probably in his 20s today, as a little boy, whenever he lost sight of his mother in the supermarket, his world fell apart. He would scream, become berserk, well, close to berserk, and frantically go search for her, become very angst and concerned. Where's my mother? I must find her. And that says that to be a child of God, to have the kingdom of God, we need to stay close to God. We need to realize our dependence, our need to be close to the Father. We need to be absolutely reliant on him. Never wandering off. Always keeping a close eye on him. Like the child cannot be too far from its parent. They wander off. But as soon as they remember, where's mommy and daddy, and they can't see them, what happens? They feel totally lost. You can see on their body language, they feel totally deserted. Have you noticed that? Like fear grips their hearts. And me and all the adults run up and pick up the child. Don't worry, we'll find mommy. And then eventually they find the parent. And so too, God says to us, my children, to have the kingdom of God, to be my child, you need to realize your dependency on me. You also need to become frantic when I'm not close. You need to constantly follow me and run after me. Stay close to me as a child stays close to me. Our separation from him should cause us trauma. How many of us experience trauma when we've not spent time or spoken to God for a few days? Don't raise your hand. You've become too much of an adult in your relationship with God. And say, Lord, restore to me my insatiable need for you. Give it back to me. I need to need you more. I cannot go a few days without talking, reading your scripture, spending time with you. Put light on my heart. Let me see my spiritual state. And let me return to become dependent on you. The next point regarding a child in action. I know my time's up. The next point is, God says, when you look at a child is like a sponge. When a child is born, they're born with sin because of Adam and Eve's sin. But literally, outside of that, they have no other input. They are like a hard drive with no data on it. And that child drinks in what mommy does, what daddy does, what uncle says. They drink in what the TV gives them. They drink in, oh, that's a shocker. Oh, God help us. They drink in everything. They just drink it in. And they become what they see. They become what they hear. They become what they taste, what they feel. And God says to us, in our relationship with Him, we need to be like that. We need to become who He is. We need to eat and drink from Him alone. We need to receive from Him alone. And if we've received things that are not from Him, that which we receive from Him must overwhelm those other things. It must wash it away. It must destroy it. It must remove it from us. We must delete the wrong with God's right. With drinking in, our soaking in, of our sponging of what everything He gives us. Just keep drinking it in. And part of being a sponge is a child is always willing to learn. When a child walks and they fall, does a child give up walking when they fall in the first time? Johan, do they give up? How often does a child keep standing up to learn to walk? There's no option in their child's mind to give up. Am I right? Do they ever consider not wanting to walk? They have no deformity whatsoever. Have you ever seen a child without any deformity that doesn't walk? Because impossible is not in their vocabulary. It's not in their thought process, their mind. They will keep on trying to walk until they get it right. That's being a child. And we must become like children. Keep on keeping on. Failure is not an option. It's not part of our mindset. It's not part of our understanding. It should not be there. Children, sons and daughters of God, do mighty exploits on behalf of your God. Step out in faith. Do not let your faith waver. Never stop pressing on, pressing in, and never give up, even though it looks impossible. The kingdom of God belongs to those such as children. And the Lord says, as a child keeps learning, I'm very close to finished. As a child keeps learning, you, my child, must keep learning and never give up. Press on, press hard. We need to ask the Lord to make us sponges. As a sponge soaks up water, that we soak up everything He has for us. Everything He wants to give us. Become so dependent on Him. Never giving up. To only want to learn from Him, copy Him, follow Him, honor Him, worship Him as our parent in His name for His kingdom. I'd like you all to close your eyes right now so we can just focus off the things around us and just focus on the Lord. Some of you are sitting here today and you're saying, I need to return. I think all of us are. I need to return to becoming like a child. And if you're saying, Lord, I need to return to become like a child, go on your knees right now. As that action saying, God, I surrender. I need to return to be a child. If you can't go on your knees, please don't. Don't hurt yourself. And you know what? While you're on your knees, pour your heart out to God right here, right now, with what we've spoken of. Father, thank you that you are reminding us now of the areas in our lives we've lost our childhood. We've lost to be like a child. And thank you, God, that you just have to say the word and that be restored. And we return to being like a child in every aspect of our essence, of our actions, and our relationship with you, to return to being like a child. Thank you, Daddy, that this week will be a different week to every other week. The weeks following this week, the months, the years, the rest of our life on this earth will become more and more like children for your glory, for your honor. Thank you, my Jesus. I worship you. Praise your name. The last point is freedom. A child is free. Have children generally got inhibitions on a playground? No. They have a bit, but quickly they lose their inhibitions and they become free. They play, they run around. They just are who they are. And we're going to sing a song now together. And I want to challenge you to become free on this song. Who will take up this challenge this morning? One, two. Can I ask for more? Who's going to be more free with this song? As an expression of what you've been taught this morning. Some of you might not know, it's an old song. It's about the river of God. There's a verse in this song that says, the river of God sets my feet to dancing. When last have you danced before the Lord? Who's going to make a conscious choice to dance on this song? Can I ask you that you show me by hand? May I ask for more? Can I implore for more folks to dance and to become like? You all knelt. You all prayed. Now it's deciding time. It's the valley of decision. Come on, guys. Let's be free. We're going to listen to the song, and the second time around, we should know it well enough. Let's be free as a child. Enjoy. So we'll stand. We can't sit and dance.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.